Advent is the season of Christ's coming into the world. If we engage with it, then Christ's coming into the world transforms us from the inside out, just as it did with a peculiar fellow with a crooked little smile, not in our readings today, who goes by the name of Grinch. You know the story, and I quote, "It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. And he puzzled 3 hours till the puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little more. And what happened then? Well, in Whoville, they say, that the Grinch's small heart grew 3 sizes that day." Last week, we were told to keep watch, and the small-hearted Grinch did exactly that. From atop Mount Crumpet, he saw the Lord come into the hearts of all the Whos in Whoville. He witnessed a community of joy and praise emanating from hearts full of love, independent of material circumstances. And it changed him. A faith took root in the poor old, dear old Grinch. And Cindy Lou Who deserves a lot of credit. It was Cindy Lou who asked the convicting question, "Santa Claus, why are you taking our Christmas tree? Why?" There may be a Cindy Lou Who or two in our lives who challenges us to examine our motives and actions. These persons, by asking questions or just by listening, reveal who we really are and convict us. The biblical prophets play this role, though so very different in their approach and appearance. The prophets stand out as outspoken, mostly male, hardy outdoor types, and somewhat frightening. Their messages strike fear in the hearers. I think they're meant to. They speak a great deal about the harsh consequences awaiting those who are unprepared. But if we read further into the prophetic texts, we also find the consistent theme of mercy. We see that today in John the Baptist's father, Zechariah, who had been rendered mute for the duration of Elizabeth's pregnancy for his arrogant disbelief. As soon as he could speak again, he doesn't speak. He sings the song of praise known as the Benedictus. Zechariah's situation illustrates the pattern of refinement and purification described in our Malachi reading today. God's goal is not to cast us into outer darkness, but to gather us all to him in eternity. God's will is not to destroy us, but to unite our hearts with his. We cooperate with this work by preparing ourselves for the coming of the Lord. John urges us to prepare the way of the Lord, to reconfigure the landscape of our hearts. He says in very simple and straightforward language what that preparation is all about, and it's one word: repentance. I would like to suggest that this Advent wreath right here is a good place to help us focus on repentance. The wreath acts as a timekeeping device, a simple calendar that marks the time of Advent through Christmas. It reminds us that God is the creator of time. God is God of the past, the present, and the future. We encounter God in all dimensions of time. Last week, Father Robinson emphasized future time by bringing our attention to the second coming of our Lord at the end of time. Jesus said, "We don't know when it will happen. It will come like a thief in the night." Thoughts of the end of the world or of our lives tend to promote anxiety. Uncertainty does that to us humans. But we need not be afraid nor unduly anxious if we prepare by investing in our faith. By growing in our faith, in our relationship with God, which is what our faith is all about. And we do that by frequent prayer, regular worship, and genuine deeds of love and justice. This move to faith is repentance, because it turns us away from our need to control and towards God. This turn to a real and deeper relationship with God makes us more humble and more confident, even joyful about the future, because we know the Lord better, not a stranger, but a familiar companion to meet us. We know that he loves us. Now, the white candle in the center represents the nativity of Jesus some 2,000 years ago. Jesus was born into this world at a specific date and time in history, given to us as a gift. Without the nativity, our world would be so, so very dark. And when we appreciate and accept this gift of Jesus, when we know in our bones that only by the grace of God do we have anything, then we can't help but be more grateful and more generous. John the Baptist would call these the fruits of repentance. These fruits are represented in the gifts that we're preparing right now to give to our friends and family, along with charitable gifts we'll make to others in need. And they also include the things we can't wrap and put under a tree, like gifts of time, our time, and attention, a smile, a phone call, words of encouragement. And finally, our wreath calendar time machine tells us that today is the second Sunday of Advent. Christ's coming is not only a future certainty and an historical fact, but it is a present reality. The celebration of the Holy Eucharist is the sacramental enactment of Christ's coming to us in the present. He comes in the sacrament again and again to renew the graces of our baptism, to seal his forgiveness of us, and to reunite our spirits with his spirit, to prepare for Holy Communion. We confess our sins in the general confession and receive absolution. There's much more that we can do to prepare for a worthy reception of the Eucharist, as St. Paul puts it. The prayer book, page 316, has an exhortation that I commend to you. And among other things, it instructs us to make restitution for injuries and wrongs that we've done, and also to forgive those who have offended us. Encountering the Lord in the Eucharist, as we will in just moments, changes us, makes us more thankful, more free, more loving, and the more so, the more we are prepared. In all these encounters, which we glimpse through the symbol of the wreath and candles, in the future we imagine, the past we remember, and the present that we inhabit now, the Lord is coming to us to love us, to redeem us. We need not fear, only prepare. Cindy Lou and all the Who's were very prepared. And you could tell, because when Christmas came, they responded joyfully in an outburst of song reminiscent of Zechariah. While holding hands, every Who in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing without any presents at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came. Somehow or other, it came just the same. And the Grinch, with his new and larger heart? Of course, he also came.